this is your mute and mute of the video. So we're gonna, so just tap that, yeah. Tap that, and the video should come on.
Go ahead and tap it.
Okay. Thank you.
Tap it?
Yeah, I tapped it. No, still didn't come up. Should come up on the screen. Okay, this could just hold on. There we go. Thank you.
Right there, yep. Kenny?
Yep, now it is. My head. We got it. Thank you.
Hello, Reverend Kenny. There you are.
Yep, thank you. How are you, Mr. Varlow?
Good.
Good to see you, sir.
Hello, Ms. Smith.
All right. Put your volume on, Brenda.
All right, there I go.
All right, give me 1 second to record. Okay, Madam Chair, whenever you're ready.
The Piscataway Township Board Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of the following meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Can you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Ms. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Foster? Nope. And Madam Chair?
Here. We will now recite the Pledge of Allegiance. My flag is a little stick came off, but here it is. Can we all recite? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair. This meeting is being held virtually in keeping with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines on virtual meetings that were promulgated as a result of the COVID pandemic. Appropriate notices were sent out, including the Zoom information, and it's appropriate for the meeting to go forward in this fashion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Would someone, member of the board, please? I'd like to have the bills paid. Make a motion to have the bills paid.
Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that the bills be paid.
Do I have a second?
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Do we have professionals that are so to be sworn in tonight?
Yes, Mr. Reinerson.
Hi, Mr. Reinerson. Can you
How are
raise
you?
Your right? Fine yourself. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I affirm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Barlow, are there any changes to our agenda tonight?
There are no changes to the agenda that I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on the July 13th meeting, 2022.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize application 22PB09, 90 Hancock Road, LLC, for major final subdivision.
Madam Chair, I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to memorialize application 21PV34/35V 140 Circle Drive North LLC preliminary and final site plan.
Madam Chair, I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to memorialize application 22PB-1314V M&M Realty Partners at Piscataway LLC for preliminary and final site plan.
Second? Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just one thing, Laura. Madam Chair had recused herself from that matter.
I recused myself. I'm sorry.
Apologies. Thank you.
So Mr. Espinoza would have been the seventh, but he is not here today.
Correct. Thank you.
Item number 9. Do we have adoption of the minutes from the previous meeting?
Madam Chairwoman, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of July 13th, 2022.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yeah. Item number 10, discussion. Ordinance to amend and supplement the revised general ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, Chapter 21, Section 8A, Flood Damage Prevention, adopt new floodplain management resolutions. Are we prepared for that discussion?
Madam Chair, if I may, this is just rules that are being promulgated by the DEP that municipalities across the state need to adopt.
Do we have to make a motion?
Yeah, so this has been referred over to the planning board by the township council to review the proposed amendment. And if, as the mayor indicated, this has been directed from the higher ups, appropriate would be to have a, if the planning board's in favor of that, a resolution sending it back to the council for them to act upon it.
So our motion should be what?
The motion would be to recommend adoption of the amendments to the ordinance.
Okay, can I have a motion to that order, members of the board?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Okay, roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Discussion. To authorize Foresight Planning LLC to prepare an area in need of redevelopment study for 10 Normandy Drive, also known as Block 3702, Block 1.02.
And again, Madam Chair, this is the planning board to discuss whether or not to retain a planner to undertake a preliminary investigation to determine if 10 Normandy Drive is an area in need of redevelopment.
May I have a motion to that effect, please?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make that motion.
Second, do I have a second?
Carol Saunders, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 12. 22PB18 V as in Victor Benner HP LLC for a bulk bank variance.
Madam Chair, I believe Mr. Smith is here for that application. And just before he enters his appearance and tells us what's going on, I just wanted to refresh the board's memory. This was previously before the board on June 8th of this year. Testimony was taken, and you may recall this had the issue with the detached garage. And after the matter was to be approved, but it turns out that the garage has triggered an additional variance that the applicant's going to speak to for that garage for maximum building coverage. It's over by 2.55%. So every member of the board that's present here today, with the exception of Mr. Espinoza, heard that testimony. So that would continue. Mr. Atkins, as the alternate who was present for the June 8th and heard the testimony, can vote in Mr. Espinoza's place. Just from a housekeeping standpoint, I will now turn it over to Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barlow. Bob Smith, I'm a licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey, and I'm standing in for Tim Arch, who was the original attorney on this. And you may remember when this application for 416 Victoria was before you, the board did not have a problem with going forward with it. And as a matter of fact, you approved it. But there was an after surprise. Nobody noticed that as a result of the garage requirement, there would now be a need for a coverage variance such that the maximum building coverage that is permitted in Piscataway in this residential zone is 20%. And because of the garage requirement, which was imposed by the board, the coverage is now 22.5%, as Mr. Barlow mentioned. So the cleanest, obviously the board wants this to happen with the garage. So the cleanest way we thought to go forward with it is to end up with a combined resolution for last month's approval and to include the additional variance for the coverage, which is a result of the board's requirement for the garage. I have Mr. Sharif Ali, our engineer, available, but if and only if the board wants any additional testimony. But it seems to be a pretty clear-cut matter and probably the simplest solution. So let me know if you want Mr. Ali to testify. Other than that, that really is the case.
Madam Chair, if I may, if Ms. Corcoran and the staff doesn't have a problem with it, I won't have a problem with it.
The staff has no issue. I just want to make one comment. You'll notice in the staff report that Henry, let me back up. So the ordinance is silent as to whether or not this 12 foot by 20 foot requirement is interior wall or exterior wall. So if we take it from the exterior wall, that's where we came up with a 22.55%. If the board is comfortable with the garage being 12 by 20, that is the percentage, the building coverage variance that will be required. If the board feels that we need to take this out another foot, 13 by 21, the coverage increases only to 22.9. But again, I'm comfortable with the 12 by 20 foot dimension. But I leave that up to the board.
Do I have a motion from the board as to whether it's okay or as to whether we need the additional variance?
We need a variance regardless. It's just the building coverage. If the garage is 12 by 20, they're at 22.55%. If the garage is increased to 13 feet by 21 feet, you're at 22.9%. Again, the ordinance is silent on it. So
okay, what's the board's pleasure? Which way should we go?
Madam Chair, I mean, I don't know if you want to take a poll, but it seems to me to be de minimis. So I actually have no issue with this either.
So I don't, I for one, does anyone have any issue with it? Let's just take it that way. Hearing no response from any of the board members present. Ms. Cahill, do you feel secure enough to go ahead and make a motion?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, Councilwoman, you do have to open up to the public, Madam.
Oh, we do. Right. You're right. Sorry, you're right. Okay. Apologize. Would you check and see if the Ms. Buckley, if anyone in the public would like to comment?
I don't see anyone, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public then. Go ahead, Ms. Cahill.
Okay, so then Madam Chair, I would like to make an offer that we accept this application with the proposed size of the garage, triggering the variance, and that we grant that variance.
Is there a second?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Let me just, so the record is clear, the variance is for the 12 by 20 garage, correct? And the 22.5% coverage variance, just for the purpose of the record and not to confuse anybody who reads 100 years from now.
Correct. And
thank you,
Madam
very
Chair,
much.
Because this matter was in front of the board in June, and again, because of this technical issue had to come back, the applicant, since the resolution was primarily done, the applicant asked if the resolution could be adopted tonight. So I had made that change in anticipation based on the board's prior feelings in this matter. So I think Ms. Saunders should have that resolution. Madam Chair, if you want to entertain a motion to adopt the resolution.
No, I would, Mr. Barlow. If you're prepared, Ms. Saunders, you can go ahead with the resolution.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the resolution for application 22PB18V for Benner HP LLC.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
You're welcome, Mr. Smith. Item 13, 22PV08, IPT Kingsbridge Business Center Urban Renewal LLC. Ms. Jennings?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Good
evening.
Thank you. Good evening. For the record, I'm Donna Jennings from the law firm of Valentz, Goldman & Spitzer. As the board is aware, the applicant is here this evening seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval to demolish an existing building and construct an approximately 100,673 square foot warehouse building and related site improvements on property located at 40 Kingsbridge Road and identified as lot 6.02 in block 6702 on the township's tax map. The property situated in the 40 Kingsbridge Road redevelopment area, subject to the similarly named redevelopment plan, which was recently adopted by the governing body in 2021. As the record will show, the project is fully conforming with the controlling redevelopment plan, meaning no variances or design waivers are requested or required. In support of the application, the applicant will rely on the direct testimony of the following witnesses: are the licensed civil engineer Christian Roche and the licensed architect Scott Daniels. In addition, the applicant's traffic engineer is also on the Zoom call, Alan Lothian, and he'll be called to testify if there are any questions or comments raised by the board, its professionals, or members of the public that the other two witnesses are unable or unqualified to address. And just as a matter of record keeping, the applicant's in receipt of several reports. We have a memo from the fire prevention dated March 2nd, 2022, fire commissioner's memo dated June 6, 2022, traffic engineer's report dated June 15th, 2022, director of public works memo dated June 17th, 2022, the board engineering's report dated July 8th, 2022, landscaped architect's report last revised August 4th, 2022, and the board planner's report last revised August 4th, 2022. Those memos have been reviewed with the applicant and its professionals, and the professionals will discuss them. I believe there are no issues with them. So I'd like to call up Chris first to begin his testimony once he's sworn in.
Okay, you may proceed.
Chris, can you please raise your right hand?
Up, he's below you on my screen.
Sorry about that. Hand is raised.
Oh, okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give with the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Christian Roche, R-O-C-H-E, with Langan Engineering, L-A-N-G-A-N.
Thank you.
And if you could, Chris, give the board the benefit of your background and qualifications.
Sure. I've been practicing land development engineering now for approximately 17 years. I'm professionally licensed in the state of New Jersey, as well as several other states. I have bachelor's degrees in civil engineering and business from Lehigh University, as well as a master's degree in civil engineering from North Carolina State. And lastly, I've appeared before numerous boards across the state of New Jersey previously. I think I was in front of this board two or three times before the pandemic.
Would the board accept his qualifications?
He's accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. And just Chris, for the record, could you confirm that you prepared the site plans were prepared under your direction?
Confirmed.
Okay. And if you could describe the site and the area around the site.
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen.
Yes.
Ms. Jennings, any exhibits will start at mark as A1 and then, you know, just continue that.
Absolutely. Chris, just make sure you identify the exhibits that you talk about them, please.
Sure. So starting with exhibit A1. Exhibit A1 is just a site vicinity aerial dated August 10th, 2022. As Ms. Jennings mentioned, the project site we're here to talk about tonight is located at 40 Kingsbridge Road. It's identified as block 6702, lot 6.02 on the township tax map. It's approximately 6.64 acres and it's generally bound by Kingsbridge Road and Route 287 to the north, office uses to the south, and office and light industrial uses to the east and west. Quickly moving to exhibit A2, which is entitled Existing Site Conditions, also dated August 10th, 2022. This is just a more zoomed in aerial view of the existing conditions on site. The site's presently occupied by an existing office building with a footprint of approximately 80,000 square feet, along with associated parking. Both the parking and the building do have existing solar panels present on them. I'll note that existing access to the site is presently provided at two locations. There is an eastern access drive as well as a western access drive. And the entirety of the property is located within the 40 Kingsbridge Road redevelopment area, with the underlying zoning being LI5 light industrial. So moving to exhibit A3, also dated August 2022, entitled 40 Kingsbridge Road site plan rendering. What the applicant is looking to construct on the property is a speculative warehouse building with a footprint of approximately 100,673 square feet. Of that, approximately 5,000 square feet would be utilized for office space, and the remaining 95,673 square feet would be utilized for warehouse use. As mentioned by Ms. Jennings, the application and the site design is fully compliant with the redevelopment plan. We're not seeking any type of bulk variances or design waivers here this evening. From a parking perspective, the redevelopment plan requires one parking stall per 1,500 square feet of warehouse use and one parking stall per 200 square feet of office. Doing the math on the aforementioned square footages I mentioned, the application is required to have 89 parking stalls on the property, and we're proposing 89 parking stalls, so the parking stall requirements are met. Each parking stall will be 9 feet wide by 18 feet deep with 25 foot wide drive aisles, which meets the redevelopment plan requirements. We'll be providing 47 parking stalls on the northern side of the building, as well as an additional 42 parking stalls on the eastern side of the building. Included with those 89 parking stalls are 5 ADA parking stalls, as well as 4 electric vehicle charging station stalls. So we're meeting the requirements for electric vehicle charging stations, as well as ADA requirements. We are proposing a loading area in the southern portion of the site, which will contain 32 loading docks. That area is proposed to be enclosed with a 6 foot high vinyl coated chain link fence, and that's mainly for security and safety purposes. Access to the site closely mirrors the existing site access configuration, with an access point both in the western portion of the site as well as the eastern portion of the site. We anticipate that all trucks would enter via the western entrance of the site, and then trucks would have the ability to leave via either access point. Regular autos will have the ability to utilize both access points as well. We are proposing a minor offsite improvement with this application, which I'll show a figure and talk about more later on during the presentation. to the existing intersection of Kingsbridge Road and Centennial Ave, and that's the western intersection. Those roads intersect at two points. And again, I'll talk about that more here momentarily. Relative to on-site trash operations, that will ultimately be decided by a yet-to-be-selected tenant. The warehouse is built on a speculative basis without a specific tenant in mind. However, some tenants prefer to handle their trash operations internally to the building, and some prefer to do it externally. We're showing the proposed trash or recycling operations within the southeastern portion of the loading area if that tenant chooses to do these via an exterior method. The site's been designed from a stormwater management perspective to comply with the state and township requirements relative to water quantity, water quality, and groundwater recharge. We're proposing to do this through the construction of two bioretention basins, one in the northern central portion of the site and one in the southeastern portion of the site, along with three porous paving areas within the proposed parking stalls. The site's exempt from the groundwater recharge requirements due to poor infiltrating soils on the site presently. Lastly, with the stormwater, I'll note that each basin is proposed to be surrounded by a 5-foot high wood split rail fence. Moving on to the site utilities. Sanitary sewer service for the site will be provided via the southern building face. We'll be connecting to an existing township-owned sewer main to the south of the property. Water service will be provided in the northeast corner of the site. It'll be provided by New Jersey American Water. Electric will be provided via PSE&G through some existing infrastructure in the southwestern portion of the site to a transformer pad located southwest of the building, and eventually providing the building service. And lastly, gas and telecommunication services will also be provided off of Kingsbridge Road. We are proposing 203 new trees as part of the application, as well as 236 new shrubs. Those new trees include 40 shade trees, 129 evergreen trees, and 34 ornamental trees. The landscaping is mainly focused around the site perimeter with a high concentration in the northern portion of the site to provide screening from Kingsbridge Road. And although we did get some comments from the township professionals, I think it was in the planner's letter, as well as from Mr. Hinderstein, we have no objection to complying with the landscape comments we received to date. We're also proposing all new site lighting. There'll be all new LED fixtures, which include 14 new light poles, as well as 9 building mounted fixtures. These fixtures will be 4,000 Kelvin in lighting temperature, and they'll all be mounted at a height of 25 feet, which complies with the redevelopment plan requirements, which allows for a maximum height of 30 feet. So we're below and complying with that requirement. We have two monument signs proposed, one at each entryway. These monument signs also are fully compliant with the redevelopment plan. Specifically, they'll be set back 10 feet from the property line. They'll be well below the maximum allowable signage area for the redevelopment plan. That's around 100 square feet, and our signs around 50 square feet. Lastly, relative to the signage height, the redevelopment plan allows for signs to be 6 feet tall and will be 5.5 feet tall. So moving to my last exhibit, this is exhibit A4. It's entitled Conceptual Offsite Improvement Plan with the date of February 25th, 2022. That's because this was submitted with the initial site plan application package. We are proposing improvement, as I mentioned, to the western intersection of Kingsbridge Road and Centennial Avenue. The improvement includes an upgrade to the existing curb radii at the northeastern portion of the intersection. Right now, the curb radii has a radius of approximately 25 feet in order to facilitate truck turning movements for trucks making rights within the roadway onto Kingsbridge. We're proposing to increase that radius to 80 feet. I'll note we have an easement in place previously. It was discussed with the township in around October 2021. The easement was obtained from the present landowner at 201 Centennial Avenue to allow for these proposed improvements to be constructed. So Ms. Jennings, I'll wrap up and certainly happy to answer any questions by just stating we did review the aforementioned letters you went through from the township professionals, and we have no objection to complying with the comments within those letters.
Thanks, Chris. That's really all the direct testimony we have from Chris at this time. I mean, again, it's a fully conforming application consistent with the redevelopment plan that was created specifically for the site. It's consistent with the redevelopment agreement. So we could move on to our next witness unless there's specific questions.
Let me just see if the board has any questions. Board members, do you have any questions of this witness that's presented so far? I see no response. The exhibit is still up, so I can't see everybody's hands.
Mr. Roach, if you could unshare. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I'm not so sure of if Mr. Roche is the right person to ask. Are we going to get testimony about the actual building itself and the structure?
Yeah, we have an architect that's going to come next.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, then let me go to the public. Ms. Buckley, do you see anyone who has any questions of this witness?
No one, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then close to the public. Ms. Jennings, you may call your next witness.
Sure. Scott Daniels. There he is.
His hand's up. I see him.
Right here.
There he is.
I'm sorry. This is the court reporter. I would just like to remind the witnesses, this is not a race. I appreciate your thoroughness, Mr. Roche, but I am taking this down. So if we could just go at a pace that is reasonable, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Respectfully, Ms. Jennings. Thank you.
Can he be sworn in, please?
You're muted, Ms. Saunders.
Your mic is off, Ms. Saunders. Thank you.
Can you please raise your right hand? I swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Scott Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L. Director of Architecture for Ware Malcolm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Jennings, you may go ahead and question your witness.
Thank you. Mr. Daniel, if you could, just for the benefit of the board, give your background and qualifications, please.
I've been a practicing architect for 35 years. I am the director of architecture for Ware Malcolm. I have a bachelor's of architecture from New Jersey Institute of Technology and an MBA from the University of Arizona. I am a licensed architect in New Jersey.
And your license is active and current?
Yes, it is.
Would the board please accept his qualifications?
Yeah, has he testified before this board in previous times or any other?
Not Piscataway, no, but many others in New Jersey.
Okay, thank you. He's accepted.
Thank you. So if you could, I think you're going to have some exhibits that you want to bring up. And we're going to be on exhibit A5 would be the next one.
Yes.
If you rely on them, just identify them for the record, please.
Okay, this is exhibit A5. It is the conceptual floor plan. And concurrent with Mr. Roach's testimony, the building is a total of 100,673 square feet. The warehouse space is 95,673 square feet. The floor plan delineates two separate office locations. This floor plan can be either a single tenant, could be a multi-tenant. We show it as a possible multi-tenant. Each of the office spaces that's shown is an additional 2,500 square feet, totaling 100,673. There is a pump room and an electrical room in the southwest corner for the utilities to enter the building. As Mr. Roach discussed, on the south side of the building, we have 32 dock doors. The entrances are both on the north-hand side of the building. To discuss the construction of the building, will most likely be typical concrete footings, a slab on grade. The walls will be precast concrete panels, fully insulated. The interior structure will be steel columns. The roof will be constructed of steel girders, open web joists. It'll have a metal deck for the roof. It'll be fully insulated, and it'll probably be a single ply membrane roof. The structure will be designed so as to be solar ready, which means that it'll be able to take the weight of solar panels on the roof.
Okay, and if you just want to move right into your elevations.
The elevations here depict the
And just, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr.
Oh, this is, yeah, this is Exhibit A6, excuse me. Correct,
thank you. And that's the elevation rendering?
So the elevations show the north elevation, east elevation, west elevation, and the south elevation. The north elevation shows the front of the building. It shows the two entrances delineated on the corners. And it shows how the elevation is breaks up the monolithic rectangular by use of vertical lines and different colors and glass within the entry points. The same is true for the east exterior elevation and the west exterior elevations, which are the shorter in length elevations. Those also utilize vertical elements to break up the elevation itself. The south elevation, which is the rear elevation, is where the docks are, the truck docks. As you can see, the 32 truck docks and the two entry ramps into the building. We also have clear story windows for use of natural light so as to make our building much more energy efficient. The building's height is a maximum of 43 feet, 10 inches. There'll be two small street number identifiers on the northwest and northeast corners of the building. One aspect of the building is the use of a stone veneer, which gives you a greater design showing more of a commercial business building than an industrial building. And that's part of the architecture of the building. I'd like to go to a rendering right now that we did. This is a conceptual rendering.
Okay, so we should mark that A7?
This is A7.
Okay. And that was a conceptual rendering?
That was a conceptual rendering of the entry, northwest entry. And to describe it, with the use of color and the use of reveal lines, both horizontal and vertical, you can see how we broke up the single plane of the elevation. Also the use of clear story windows and glass at the entrance, which gives you the impression of more of a business type of building than an industrial building, with the veneer at the bottom as a base and a higher parapet at the top of the corner, which adds to the architecture of the building and falls nicely in with the surrounding environment and landscape.
Mr. Daniel, I think that's the conclusion of your testimony.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, members of the board, you've heard the testimony. Does anyone have any questions of this witness?
Please unshare your screen, Mr. Daniels.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. Thank you. So I heard your testimony about the roof is going to be solar panel ready. Maybe you don't know the answer, but do you know the intent of when maybe solar panels might be installed on that building? Is that going to be something in the owner's purview to do soon, or we don't know that?
We don't know that. There's no tenant right now, so that's not something that's on the table right now, but it is ready, and in the future they would do it.
Okay, so each of the tenants would be responsible then for putting solar panels on?
In the future, yeah.
If okay.
They want it. I mean, it's just ready for them, but it's not something that's being discussed right now.
So the owner of the building is not going to put them on. It would be up to each tenant to do that if they wanted to.
Right.
Thank you.
Any other questions from any of the other board members? Okay, Ms. Buckley, would you check and see if there's... this this witness is open to the public for questioning. Would you see if there's any members of the public who are interested in questions of this witness?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Ms. Jennings, do you have any other witnesses?
No, that's all of our witnesses that we were going to call as direct witnesses, because again, this is a fully conforming application, not requiring any variances or design waivers. We have reviewed all of the memos and reports issued by your consultants, and we have no issues with any of their suggestions. And so we would respectfully request, since we're compliant with your redevelopment plan, that the board grant the approval. Thank you.
Members of the board, you have heard the testimony and of the witnesses to this application. What is your pleasure?
Madam Chair, if I may, I have for Mr. Barlow also. As a condition of approval in the memorialization, we need to put in that the applicant will have to install a communication node inside the building, because the town is moving over to the 700 megahertz radio system. So in buildings like this, as well as the next application, we're going to be requiring that in all future applications, that a repeater system is put inside these heavily concrete buildings with a lot of metal. So when the first responders go in, they'll still be able to communicate with the base station and the other first responders out there during an emergency.
Yeah, we have to
be willing to have them sit down with the applicant. It's being required by a lot of towns now in the state to do that with the 700 megahertz system, which is being required by the federal government.
Mayor, we have no issue with that. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And then Mr. Barlow, I suggest that we'll have them sit down with our public safety people, individual staff with the applicant. It shouldn't be a heavy, these repeaters are supposedly, from what I understand, are very small repeaters. So,
Mayor, just by way of edification for myself, is that what it would be called, a communication node, or is it called
it's basically a communication repeater system.
Okay, communication.
Now, some people call it by a node for short. So, but we'll moving forward, Ms. Corcoran will be having something before the board as a site plan approval checklist item in the future for structures like this.
So would your, I guess, condition, Mayor, be that the applicant will put in a commuter repeater system in consultation with the fire marshal and the other township professionals?
Yeah, the police department.
Okay, police, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And the applicants indicated they would agree to that.
Absolutely. Not a problem.
Are there any other questions? We've heard all the testimony. We've opened it to the public and there's no comment. Do we have, what's your pleasure, board members? Would you, someone want to make a motion approving this application?
I have a comment. Sorry.
Who's that? Is that a member of the public?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One moment, please. Could you tell us what your name is, and Ms. Saunders will swear you in, or
yes, my name is Teresa Radicki Jones, and mm-hmm. I live at 121 Bond Street in Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. What's your question, ma'am?
My question is,
does she have to swear in? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear. Okay. My question, all right. My question is, how is the traffic from this warehouse going to affect the tractor trailers that are already on Centennial Avenue that are coming from South Washington Avenue?
What?
The warehouses on South Washington Avenue. You're going to be adding more tractor trailers onto Centennial Avenue going towards 287 South, which is now unbelievable because of the construction. How is that going to affect it? How many tractor trailers do you approximate that are going to come through there daily?
Madam Chair, if I may ask that, that is a ridiculous question. This site is next to 287. Centennial Avenue is designed to go where, that's where you want the traffic to go, on 287. I mean, no offense, Mrs. Renicki. I mean, you live in Bridgewater. you consistently come on here and you complain.
My son lives at 301 Netherwood Avenue. I don't care.
You do not live here in the town.
My mother was on the planning board for 20 years.
I'm well aware that your mother, I served with her. So, but the bottom line is, you're wrong on this one. This is proper planning. This is, and by the way, everything on Centennial Avenue is a permitted use for warehouses.
I know, we have the plumbing company
behind. All right then, so what are you arguing about? Okay, just, you know that.
If I may, there for 30 years.
I don't want to argue with you. Come
on. Okay. If I may, Ms. Jones.
Yes.
This is a completely conforming and permitted use, and it's part of the redevelopment plan. The applicant's not required to provide testimony related to traffic because the feeling is it's a conforming and permitted use. So it was taken into account that it would generate traffic in keeping with the size and parking as outlined in the redevelopment agreement. So it would actually be impermissible for the board to consider testimony about that because it is permitted. And Ms. Jennings, if you want to add anything, but...
Mr. Barlow, I also want to add in there, this is actually, believe it or not, a less intense use than what was permitted out there when Deutsche Bank owned the site. And as a side note, during 9/11, right after 9/11, they had 1,500 employees on that site for over a year during 9/11. So, I mean, this is a way less intensive use than what was out there in the past.
And I think that was the thought process behind the redevelopment plan that was adopted.
Yes.
But Ms. Jennings, if you would like, if you have anything you want to add.
I just want to say, I'm sorry to the mayor, but we have to live with that plumbing company. And let me tell you, the light industrial that's over there and the noise is unbelievable. You have to start thinking of the residents, not just of the taxes.
That has nothing to do with this application.
I know, but I just had to make it said. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Jones.
I will try not to bother you anymore.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the public?
Can I just have the spelling of her name, please? This is the reporter.
It's Rudden.
She didn't spell it though. She said it, but I need the spelling.
No, I know. She just muted herself. I'm sorry. Could you spell your last name, Ms. Jones?
It's Rudnicki, Rudnicki dash Jones.
Thank you.
Are there any more comments from the public? If not, close to the public.
No, I'm
not sure. Okay, I'll entertain a motion. What's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I'll make the motion that we accept the application. Give me one moment. Is that 22PB-08?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
With the stipulation that the communication, or Mr. Barlow, if you want to just say exactly what that note is for the emergency services.
The communication repeater system, and the applicant will work with the township's professional first responders.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call, please, Ms. Buckley.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, everyone.
Have a great night.
Have a good night.
Take care.
The next application will be chaired. Reverend Kenny will come forth and chair this meeting.
Just give me one second to put all this away, Reverend.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barlow. I'm having another. My picture is not up on the screen, and it's jumping all over the place, the microphone. Hopefully, it's working well.
Yeah, Dawn, the camera was shaking before I was...
Loud and clear, yeah. Reverend Kenny. Okay.
Yeah, it's still, I try to reset it again.
Hold on. Relax, we'll get it. Records just reflect that Chairwoman Smith has recused herself from this application.
Okay, let's get this up.
Sometimes it's still on time.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Mr. DeGrisa? Oh, there it is. Hello, Chris.
How are you?
It's not working. It's a problem when you first.
Just bear with us 1 second. We're just trying to get him on camera.
Sure.
Have to get that checked in the future.
Yeah, there's something wrong with the camera.
It's Joe's camera. Don doesn't have one.
No, it didn't. I did it 3 times and I couldn't get it up.
You know what? If we need to, let him jump in to let him use mine.
Do that.
And then I'll just sit here.
I know what our computer's doing. All right, well, guys, we'll be there in 1 moment.
As long as they can hear me, that's okay. As long as it's in my picture.
Why don't you have him go so he can start to the meeting?
Yeah,
okay. Why don't you just come on over to mine? You just announce it. You'll be able to see you. I'll be able to listen.
Yeah.
Unmute me, that's all right. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Barlow, I think we're ready now.
Good.
Okay.
I can hear it. 1 second. Just telling them that we swapped out.
Okay, I
could
change it
over. Yeah.
Okay. So, Reverend Kenny, this is 22PB15 Rockefeller Group Development Corporation, and I believe Mr. DeGrisa is here on behalf of the applicant.
Do you hear me, Mr. Barlow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's where I was getting ready to start. The Rockefeller Group Development Corporation, 22PB15. Mr. DeGrisa?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Call your first... witness, please.
Great, thank you. Just for some background, I'm Christopher DeGrisa from the law firm of Fagery, Drinker, Biddle, and Reith, here on behalf of Rockefeller Group Development Corporation. The application before you this evening is for preliminary and final site plan related to 147,000 square foot warehouse building. The property is approximately 17.2 acres. And is located at 10 Constitution Avenue. It falls within the LI-5 and the redevelopment zone, which was recently enacted. Both under the initial zoning, the underlying zoning, and under the redevelopment zone, the proposed use is a permitted use. Just to give you a little background, the site is currently occupied by a multi-story office building, and that building is approximately 109,000 square feet. On June 10th, 2021, the Council of Piscataway designated the area or the property as an area in need of redevelopment. Later that year, on December 14th, 2021, a redevelopment plan was adopted. The applicant has prepared a fully compliant site plan. It is consistent with the underlying zoning ordinance and with the redevelopment plan. There are no variances being requested. And unless there's any questions, Mr. Mayor, I will introduce our first witness, Keith Aberson.
Hello, Mr. Aberson.
Hello.
Would you, that's your first witness, would you swear?
Yes.
Yep.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony names. About to give?
They should be able to look up and read it. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I switched that as soon as I got back. I got you.
Ms. Abramson, do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Heath Abramson. That's H-E-A-T-H. Last name Abramson, A-B-R-A-M-S-O-H-N.
Thank you.
And Heath, your title is Vice President?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about, was he sworn in?
Yes,
he was sworn in. Yes, I just sworn him in.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I heard him state his name and I wasn't sure if he said, I swear for him to tell the truth. Can you tell us a little bit about the Rockefeller Group in this project?
Sure. So the Rockefeller Group is a national development company headquartered in New York City. With history going back to the Rockefeller family. More locally, we have an office in Morristown, New Jersey. History within New Jersey goes back about 40 years, doing primarily commercial development of industrial and office product. More locally, hyper-local, recently over the last few years, we redeveloped the Union Carbide Dow Chemical site off of River Road into a 2.1 million square foot redevelopment, brownfield redevelopment site. And as Chris said, happy to be here, looking forward to hopefully working together again, but we are ultimately looking to redevelop this site into a speculative industrial building.
That all you have, Mr. Everson?
That's it, unless there's any other questions.
Okay, is there any questions from the board?
Nope.
Any questions from the public?
No.
I see none. Okay, you haven't any other witnesses?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to call up our project engineer, Richard Barrow, from Langan Engineering and Environmental Services.
Okay, Ms. Saunders, would you want to swear him in?
Yes, Mr. Barrow, can you please raise your right hand?
Good evening.
Hi. Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Richard Burrow, B-U-R-R-O-W.
Thank you.
Richard, can you please give us some of your background and qualifications?
Certainly. I'm a civil engineer with Langan Engineering and Environmental Services based in Parsippany, New Jersey. I've been working as a civil engineer for 30 years, 23 years here in the United States, and I have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from the University of Glasgow in Scotland. I'm a licensed professional engineer in New Jersey and several other states. I've testified before this board probably 5 years ago with the Rockefeller Group on the project that Heath mentioned, and I've testified in front of several other boards in the state on similar projects.
We like to present.
He is qualified.
Thank you. Richard, can you describe the existing site and the proposed project?
Certainly. Let me share my screen.
Okay, so, Mr. Burrow, if you're around for the other applications, we'll start with the first one as A1 and then just keep going as you or anybody else in your team puts up any exhibit. So this would be A1, this aerial exhibit.
Correct. So exhibit A1 is an aerial exhibit showing the 10 Constitution Avenue site. It is 17.2 acres located off of 10 Constitution Avenue. You can see that Constitution is immediately south of Interstate 287, access from either exit 6 or exit 7. And brings you to Centennial Avenue, then takes you to Corporate Place South, and you make a left onto 10 Constitution. The 17-acre site is currently occupied by an office building that has approximately 430 car parking spaces on it today, and the office building you can see. Much of the site is wooded, and much of the site, particularly the western side, will remain wooded after the redevelopment project has been completed. And you can see The neighboring properties are largely industrial. However, there is the South Randallville Elementary School immediately to the south. So the backside of the school faces our southern boundary. We have an industrial or warehouse building to the east, warehouse building to the north, and warehouse building to the west. So I'll move on to the next exhibit, which helps, should help me describe. So exhibit A2 is a color rendering of the proposed site plan and is marked exhibit A2 or exhibit 2. So this shows the proposed 147,000 square foot warehouse building. As was mentioned already, this use is in compliance with the redevelopment plan, and it is in compliance with all of the bulk standards in the redevelopment plan with respect to lot coverage, building coverage, setbacks, etc. And let me go on to describe the site circulation. So you come in off of 10 Constitution into the existing driveway. And those of you that are familiar with the site, this is the long driveway with the nice alley of trees on both sides, and that's going to be maintained. And this 30-foot wide driveway will be the only access to the site. Cars and trucks will share the driveway, and then cars will go either straight on into the car parking lot or make a right and enter the car parking lot from the southern parking lot access. There's 121 car parking spaces on site, so quite a reduction from the existing office building. Tractor trailers will circulate in a counterclockwise manner, so make a right turn, come along the southern boundary, travel north through the truck court, drop off their trailer, perhaps pick one up, and then leave via the northern end of the truck court, circulating west and leaving the site, again, continuing in a counterclockwise manner. There's a couple of fences proposed on the plan. I'd just like to refer to them and also correct the fence details. So we have a ornamental fence proposed around the truck court. Our application incorrectly shows spikes on top of the fence. We do not plan to propose to build any spikes on top of the fence. Sorry about that. So the fence will go around the truck court, and the fence that we will build is in compliance with the redevelopment plan. We're also going to install 5 foot high post and rail fence with black mesh around the 6 stormwater basins, again in compliance with the redevelopment plan. Another fence that I want to detail is we have a sound fence along the southern boundary. I'll go on to give you a specific image of the sound fence so that we're clear on what it is toward the end of my testimony. So the sound fence is instead of the board on board fence that we showed on the site plan application. The solid sound fence is what is required by the redevelopment plan. It is 8 feet tall as required by the redevelopment plan. And although the building is oriented, you know, with the front facing largely west or southwest, and really the truck courts facing northeast, and the sound fence will help mitigate the sound from the building with respect to the elementary school to the south. And we also are about 10 feet lower, 8 to 10 feet lower on this site than the elementary school. So that fence, again, is in compliance with the redevelopment plan. I'll go on to describe the stormwater management. So we have really two different stormwater management techniques on site. The simplest one is the pervious pavement. We have a pervious pavement sidewalk connecting the site from Constitution Avenue to the building. And then we have 5 small-scale bioretention basins and 1 large-scale bioretention basin. The site is exempt from recharge because it is redevelopment in Planning Area 1, but we comply with the current state and town water quantity and water quality requirements. And we have done some pretty extensive on-site soils testing, which identified shallow groundwater on the site, and because of that, we modified the basin design so that the basins have under drains. four of the basins are also lined because of their proximity to the groundwater. So that is it. As discussed in Mr. Carley's report, and we're happy to work through the comments in Mr. Carley's report, but we believe we will be able to comply with them all. Each one of these basins has spillways. Again, details of that will be provided. The car parking spaces are 9x18, 25-foot aisles in compliance with the ordinance. And the site has a pretty extensive landscaping plan. We have 373 new trees being planted. There is quite a number of trees being removed, and there will be a deficit of trees with respect to the town's tree removal ordinance. There are comments in the review letters that encourage some additional trees that be planted. We are going to comply with that. We're also going to comply with the requirements in the review letters about planting some larger trees. And we will calculate the correct deficit once we've added the trees that we're able to in working with the professionals.
Richard, while you're on trees, I just want to clarify for purposes of the record, the lot contains a lot of areas that aren't colored in that showed woodlands. Those are not being disturbed and will remain, correct?
Absolutely correct. Yeah, most of these areas to the west of the building, so southwest and northwest, are wetlands, and they will not be impacted by the project. The trees, a significant number of trees will remain.
Thank you.
Is that all you have,
Mr. A couple other points, if you don't mind, but I will wrap
up. Ahead, sir.
No, it's okay. There is a request that we move the sound fence further south. That actually, I believe, could cause more trees to be removed. So, and we'll certainly work with Mr. Hinterstein to examine that. But I think it may be in the optimum location at the moment, so we don't have to remove more trees. The site lighting is in compliance with the ordinance. Maximum lighting height for freestanding lights is 25 feet. They're LED lights with house side shields. Just with respect to the letters that we've received, first of all, I'd like to point out that we have a New Jersey DEP wetlands permit in hand. That permit was received recently on the 27th of July, and many of the letters refer to the status of that. So it was great news. We've got that permit in hand. And with respect to the other comments, you know, we are happy to work through the details with the professionals and believe we can come to a suitable resolution. So that would conclude my direct testimony. If they have any comments or questions, I'd be happy to do my best to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Burrow.
Mr. Burrow or Mr. DeGrees, I just want to be clear. So with regards to Mr. Carley's report of July 27, 2022, and Mr. Hinterstein's report, I believe, of July 27, 2022, you can comply with any and all of their recommendations, and we'll work with the township's professional staff to resolve any issues, correct?
That's correct. The only one exception, which I covered in my direct testimony, is there's a request for soil testing and to show the depth to groundwater relative to the basins. And the technique that we've designed on the site it responds to the actual data we've already collected so that we will not have the separation. We will have the basin designed appropriately for the proximity of the groundwater.
Okay. Well, you'll work with Mr. Carley with regards to that issue, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Richard, just to clarify, you address the fence along the back, the one on the southern property line that will have sound attenuation qualities?
Yeah, so actually I meant to show that one. Sorry, let me just, I forgot to, so let me show Exhibit A3. Which shows the sound fence. So we had originally shown a board-on-board fence on the application. However, the redevelopment plan requires a sound fence. And you may ask, what's the difference? So the sound fence is solid. It's got multiple layers that are sandwiched together, so there is no, you know, air gaps for sound to penetrate. And it also has a certain mass which absorbs the noises. So this is what the sound fence will look like. We refer to this as Exhibit A3, Mr. Barlow, I believe.
Yes,
Richard,
sir.
It's not, I don't think you shared your screen. Can you?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Thank you, Christopher.
No worries.
Okay, so here is the same fence, and hopefully it looks like I just described it. And this looks kind of bare. You know, our application proposes landscaping that would be in front of the fence. But this is what it will look like.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. DeGries, I did fail to mention also the CME report of Mr. Reinerston of July 26, 2022.
There's two points in that one we should probably address, or I can address one of them, that the architect can address the other. In the application, we show 3 EV stalls. There should be 4 EV stalls, and we will add the 4th EV stall in the resolution compliance, should we be approved this evening.
Okay.
So again, no objection and no problem complying.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any questions from the board members? Have any questions for Richard?
Mr. Chairman, we cannot hear Mr. Mayor.
He would have to come and share the screen.
I think he's saying something about the sidewalks.
Yes, he's saying about the sidewalk.
And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there is in fact sidewalk along that property frontage.
That's correct. There was a comment about sidewalk being added along Constitution and about the sign for our property. Those have been moved, I think, as part of the adjacent development project.
Okay. And
sidewalk's been built and the sign has been moved.
Are conforming.
Correct. So they already conform as suggested in the letter.
Reverend Kenny, yes. The other question I have is to make sure that the other board on board solid fence is going to connect up with the adjacent property owner.
It will, yes.
Correct.
Okay. All
right. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
As with the previous application, does this require the repeater communication system?
Yes, it does, Counselor.
Okay. And Mr. DeGries, I don't know if you were present in the previous application. Yes. Would the applicant have any problem doing that for the first responders so their communication systems will work appropriately?
We have no problem. We will work with police and fire to determine what needs to be installed there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there any questions from the public?
Yes, Brian Reck.
Yeah, hi, Brian Reck, 1247 Brookside Road.
Sorry, Mr. Reck, what was the address again?
Oh, come on, you don't know me already? 1247 Brookside Road?
I don't have the addresses memorized, though.
I do.
Ms. Saunders, if you could just swear Mr. Rack in, please.
Yes. Mr. Rack, can you please raise your right hand?
Yes.
I can't see, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. My webcam's broken.
Okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give was the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
My only question was on the screening on the south fence. Which side is going to have the landscaping? Are the kids going to be looking at a solid fence, or are they going to be looking at, like, trees?
They'll be looking at trees.
Okay. That was it. Thanks.
Madam Chair, I know it's open to the public, but I just wanted to confirm that, because I do believe that you did say all of the trees that there are now there that block the view to the parking lot, none of that's being touched. That's accurate, Mr. Burrow?
Sorry, could you restate your question, please?
I apologize. So the trees that border the parking lot that is there now and the school, none of those trees or that buffer are going to be touched. I see that the building is going into the parking lot area there, but those trees there are not going to be adjusted or any removed from there?
So that's not quite accurate. And sorry if I wasn't clear. So the trees along, there'll be a row of trees along the edge of the property that exist today, or certainly existed when I was there late last week. And then there will be some landscaping added. Then there'll be the sound fence. And then some of the trees that do exist closer to the parking lot on site today will be removed as part of the construction because the roadway is lower. Does that make sense? So the view will be the first row of trees that exist, then the sound fence, and supplemented with additional trees in response to the professional's letter where we can fit
them. You have to replace the trees that you take down.
We do.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Is there any other questions for Richard? Okay, Mr. DeGrazi, may call you next witness.
Okay, Mr. Chair, before I call up my architect, as part of our initial submission, we provided an October 7th, 2021 traffic letter. It showed a significant decrease in site trip generation during peak hours. We have our traffic engineer here. If you have any questions for our traffic consultant, otherwise I'll move on to our architect.
Does anyone on the board have any questions for the traffic engineer? Is anyone from the public? I see none. You may move on, Mr. DeGrasse.
Thank you very much. Kyle, are you there? I don't see you.
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening.
This is Kyle Ferrier, and he is an architect at ABD Design Services. Kyle, can you go through your
would you swear him in, Ms. Saunders?
Yes. can you please raise your right hand? Kyle, do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Yeah. Kyle Ferrier. Last name's F-E-R-R-I-E-R.
Thank you.
Kyle, can you briefly describe your qualifications and experience?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a project architect at ARCO Design Build, Design Services. So I have my bachelor's degree in architecture, master's degree in construction management. I'm licensed in New Jersey and a handful of other states, and all my licenses are current and in good standing. I have testified for boards throughout New Jersey and Pennsylvania in the past, but this will be my first time in Piscataway. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. I guess you could pull up your exhibit.
Sure.
And I believe we're going to mark this next exhibit as A4.
A4 and then continue. Kyle, you may proceed.
Yeah, he's looking to share it. Okay, great.
Yes, here it is now.
Let's start with just describing what A4 is, and then you can get in your testimony.
Sure. A4 is a conceptual floor plan, so just an overall floor plan of the building.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, was Kyle accepted as an expert? I don't know if we've gotten to
that. Yes, he was.
Okay, thank you very much. Kyle, you may continue.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yes, this is our proposed warehouse building here. It's the footprint of about 147,000 square feet. You'll see, as described by my colleague, the loading docks occur on the back of the building, which is top of the page here. With two future office areas in each corner on the front side of the building. It is a concrete slab on grade, steel structure, so steel columns, open web joists. The structure will be designed to be solar ready, so no solar being proposed at this time, but the structure will be able to accommodate future solar.
The state obligations to create the solar-ready area in the rooftops.
Correct, yes.
Yep. Thank you.
So I'll move into A5, and these are the conceptual elevations, exterior elevations. So the building perimeter will be constructed of tilt-up concrete panel construction, and we'll use reveals to define a paint scheme consisting of neutral colors, like a light, medium, and dark, as you'll see. At the entrances, we have glazing and canopies to define, you know, each entrance at each end of the building, with clear story windows along both the front wall and the back wall for some natural light. We're showing signage at each entrance, which is in compliance with the redevelopment plan. So this would be exhibit A6, which is the entrance rendering. So you'll see here, just in 3D here, the main entrance to the building. You'll see that the paint schemes, the neutral colors, in addition to some bump outs to help give the entrance some depth, so it's not such a flat building. I'll call attention to a recent project by this applicant in Piscataway, the Middlesex Logistics Center. This is similar in design, but with some enhanced features, so some taller glazing, the bump outs to help define the entrance, and just greater variation with the reveal patterns, the clear story windows, and the paint scheme colors. And then moving into A7, which is an aerial rendering. It kind of paints the whole picture together. So you'll see this is still that same front corner of the building where you'll see the entrance canopy. In addition to, you know, the movement throughout the site, so you'll see the counterclockwise flow of trucks and just an overall look at the building from the front.
Great. I think that's all we have, Mr. Chair, from this witness.
Okay. One question I have. These tractor trails, they go completely around the complete circumference of the warehouse?
That's correct.
And then out to drive, they can go completely around. That's what it looks like to me.
There is full circulation.
Okay, well, that's all I wanted to know. Okay, it's good access. Okay, is there any questions from the board?
Mr. Chairman, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I'm going to ask this applicant the same question I asked the one before. Understand the roof is solar ready. Are there any immediate plans by the owner of this building or any of the potential tenants to put solar in the immediate future?
I can take that, Chris. So similar to how we did constructed our last project within Piscataway, the project is solar ready. We will work with end users based upon their requirements of solar ready, of if they're going to install solar or not. But at this point in time, we don't plan to construct it with solar panels in place. However, if you were to go to our last project, there are some of the occupants over there that are working through that now or had worked it recently. But we do plan to make sure that these buildings are ready for solar readiness, basically solar readiness.
May I just ask a follow-up question, because the other applicant didn't actually answer it the same way you did. So you actually plan to work with tenants who are looking to be more sustainable and work with them?
It depends on the situation. And I'll give an example. So when we worked on the Kununaga building, we worked hand in hand on that building for what ultimately became a WELL and LEED, I want to say gold building. And we worked together with them. Some users want to do it themselves. Some may need help, and we're not going to abandon anybody. So if somebody needs help, we're going to help them. If they are going to do it themselves, if you're working with some larger occupiers, they will do things internally and will run things themselves. Then you have others who are smaller, maybe don't have the necessary resources, and they may need some help. So we just make ourselves available where necessary, but we're constantly speaking to solar companies and learning as much as we can so that we are ready should the time arise.
Okay, thank you very much.
I have one question, another question. This is Reverend Kenny, Assistant Chair. In regards to the fire and police, the new technical emergency equipment, you're in compliance with that also?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's the question I want to know. And is there any sidewalks in this area for connecting with this building inside the perimeter of the building?
Richard, would you like to take that, please?
I believe the sidewalks extend forward to Constitution, but...
I can explain. The sidewalk's not really shown in this image, and there's a new sidewalk going to be installed from Constitution Avenue. It's going to cross. It's not shown here. See where the blue car is?
Okay.
It's going to cross there and go to the sidewalk in front of the building.
Okay, there will be sidewalks installed and along the perimeter of the building. Is that correct?
There's a sidewalk along the front of the building, which is shown correctly on this image. So, yes.
Okay.
There's not sidewalks down the sides or along the truck court.
And they will be replaced if they're broken or whatever. Is that correct? Sidewalks?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any questions from the public?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, it's Dawn Corcoran. I just had one question for the architect.
Beg pardon?
Mr. Chairman, it's Dawn Corcoran. I had one question for the architect.
Yes, go right ahead, Dawn. I'm sorry.
Thank you. No worries. Will there be rooftop equipment on this building?
Yeah, there's typically some smaller like exhaust fans. There's no large like air handling units, and they're typically very low lying. And this building, the roof slopes from front to back, so towards the truck court. They wouldn't be visible from ground level or approaching the building, because it'll be pretty small. The roof slopes towards the loading dock area, and it'd be placed closer to the loading dock area as well.
And you'll comply with the township ordinance with regard to the equipment? Regardless.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Can you stop sharing your screen, Mr. Ferrier?
Sure.
Your next witness, Mr. DeGrazia?
That was actually the last witness as part of our direct testimony this evening. We have a whole team with us. So if you have any specific questions, we can address them. I think we've already gone through and addressed all the issues and concerns raised in the reports. And like I said, we're happy to answer any other questions. Otherwise, as stated at the beginning, this is a consistent plan with both the underlying zoning ordinance and the redevelopment plan. We're not requesting any variances. And that basically sums up, sums it up.
Thank you, Mr. DeGrazia. All right, board members, you heard the statements from the various different witnesses that came forward. What is your pleasure in regards to this application? Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, it's Dawn Corcoran. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to all of the reports discussed. Also subject to the installation of the communication repeater system. And I think that should cover it.
And sidewalks and so forth. Mm-hmm.
The sidewalks are shown on the plan.
Okay, that was on the plan. Okay. Do I hear a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And that's it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night. Okay. Madam Chair?
Just stay there.
Right? You want to stay here?
Yeah.
Okay, the next item on the agenda for tonight is item number 1521 PB42/43 Viz and Victor Raven Heights LLC and Kaduri.
John Wiley appearing of the firm Wiley Lavender Macnor appearing on behalf of the applicants tonight. We're in for a preliminary subdivision with variances for a property at 17 and 21 School Street. Presently, There is a old house, I think it's been identified for 1910. It has a garage, which became a garage apartment, and it actually has two-family, but may or may not be a legal two-family. However, all those issues are irrelevant tonight, as we intend to convert the existing house back into a single family and to eliminate the apartment and convert that building into a one-car garage. There's a report of August 3rd, 2022 from the township report, and it contains a couple things I'd like to put on the record. The first is that the applicant would agree to the number two recommendation that the width of the new houses be limited to 45 feet and permitting us to make up for the missing square footage by making the home deeper. We'll submit that at the time of final subdivision. And we'll concur that the heights of the residences cannot exceed 33 feet and that we will work on trying to improve the facade, and we'll have our architect contact the planning officials to see if we can come up with a good facade design. There's also a shed that's apparently on the easement, and we agree that that should be moved. We have two witnesses tonight. We have our site engineer, Mr. Walker, and we have a professional planner, Mr. Osiello, who will provide the testimony regarding the legal requirements, or the legal arguments regarding the planning arguments, excuse me, regarding the variances that we're requesting. So at this point, I'd like to have Mr. Walker sworn in.
Mr. Wiley, just before you do that, just so the record's complete. So we have the August 3rd, 2022 report of Mr. Hinterstein, the August 4th, 2022 report of Mr. Reinerston, and we have the April 29th, 2022 report of Mr. Gaspari, the Director of Public Works.
We also have a report from DNR dated August 8th.
Yep. And your experts will either comment on them or you've agreed to those conditions, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt your first witness, sir.
First witness, Mr. Walker, if he could be sworn in.
Walker, could you please raise your right hand?
Yep, he's there.
I'm right here.
Okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, last name Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R.
And Mr. Walker, what licenses do you possess with the state of New Jersey?
I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey in good standing.
And how long have you been an engineer?
I've been doing land development for 25 years, master's degree and bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Rutgers University. I'm currently the president of Meridian Engineering Group from Edison, New Jersey. The last time I was in front of this board was, I just looked it up, in December of 2018, when the Centennial Square Sports Authority was converted to a 24-hour fitness was the last time I was in front of this board.
I'd like him deemed as an expert in civil engineering.
He's acceptable to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. I think maybe the easiest way to begin, you have a colored rendering of the subdivision.
I do. What I was going to do first is bring up sheet two of the site plan set just to show the existing conditions.
Sure.
It's already part of the record, so I don't believe it needs to be shared as an exhibit. Or marked as an exhibit.
Marked as an exhibit, that's correct.
Yep. So Okay, so this is the overall existing condition plan, sheet two of our site plan set.
Mr. Walker, just before you proceed, so this was part of the application. It hasn't been changed or altered in any way, and it was
no either, modifications. That's correct.
Either done at your, you did it or at your direction, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so we won't mark that. Okay.
Okay, so the site has it sits on the southern side of School Street. In Piscataway, it's number 17 and 21 street addresses, School Street, and then lots 9 and 10 in block 9001. To the east, south, or east, north, and west sides are existing single family residential. And then to the north is the, believe it's called the Villas at Fairway. It's a pretty large scale development that sits to the south of us. Just for ease of viewing, on 17 School Street, here's the existing home that Mr. Wiley was mentioning, with a driveway, the existing one-story dwelling, former garage, was converted into an apartment use at some point. Will be remedied by converting that back to a garage. And then behind that, there's an existing shed. On 21 School Street, on the right side of our plan, is they have an existing home and shed. And that home and shed will be removed to make way for one of the new homes to be constructed. I think everything else.
And is that shed being removed? That was the one that was in the easement?
Yeah, there's the one shed in the back here. I was going to get to the wetlands. So there's a tiny little corner of the concrete slab that's in the front here that's shown. It's in the required wetlands buffer. That shed and the concrete pad are being removed.
Okay.
And now I will switch over to... the colored site rendering. So this would be exhibit A1. So you can see here's the existing dwelling converted back garage shed on 17 School Street. We're calling it Lot A for right now. And then two new homes on lots B and lot C moving westward. Each home is they're called four bedrooms with an in-law suite, so technically five bedrooms. The in-law suite is just a separate bedroom with its own private bath, but those are technically five bedroom homes. The back of the site, you can see there's up at the top here, I don't have a colored blue, but there's a ditch that runs along the back of the property that's mapped as an unnamed tributary to Ambrose Brook. There is a very small sliver in the southwest corner of the site that has a mapped. It's hard to know exactly where that falls along this ditch, but the appendage of a flood mapped flood hazard on that back corner at elevation, and it includes an elevation of 69. Is the elevation, and you can see that the elevations back in that area are consistent with that. Here's the 69, and then you get up to 70, 71, 72 as you come up towards the development site. In addition to the ditch and the little bit of a floodplain that comes right up in this corner, there's a great number of existing mature trees. Those trees will all stay. And you can see this wetland line, a dark L1, L2 kind of line that goes across the plan. That is a wetlands line that was established by Dave Moskowitz of Equal Sciences in June. And then we also show the 50-foot wetlands buffer. And you'll notice that all of the improvements are outside of the required buffer, including the proposed drywells. So we're not proposing to do anything in the environmentally sensitive portion of the site. there was a question about what we will add the riparian buffer to the ditch. It's also a 50-foot buffer, but you'll see that the ditch here is just inside the wetlands line. So the 50-foot riparian buffer would be inside the wetlands line. So the most conservative line, most restrictive line is the wetlands buffer, but we will add that to the plan. So we discussed the proposed homes. They'll each have a two-car garage and a 20-foot wide driveway. Residential site improvement standards require three parking spaces for a five-bedroom home, and we'll be providing two in the garage, and then a 20-foot wide driveway counts as 1.5 spaces. I don't know how you park half a car, but 20 feet wide, you know, is a reasonable width for actually two cars. But as far as RSIS goes, it counts as 1.5. So we'll have 3.5 spaces where three spaces are required.
Maybe we should review the bulk standards here.
Yep. I'm going to circle back to those.
All right. Okay.
So we talked about that the flood elevation, the map flood elevation in the study is elevation 69. You'll see the basement floors on the proposed homes are at elevation 72. So 3 feet above that. All utilities are available in School Street, so we can tie right into the existing utilities out there. We're taking down 11 trees, and we're proposing to install 14 trees. So we meet the tree requirement. One slight variation is that, and it was noted in one of the professionals' letters, that based on the width of the site, we're required to have 5 street trees. Right now, we show 4 trees out there and then 5 kind of like behind the sidewalk. Hopefully, those 5 will be sufficient, in addition to the 4 that are out there. What we have between the driveways and all the utilities, it's tough to find a spot out between the curb and sidewalk to stick another tree, but we'll work with professionals to make sure that they're happy with that. But we do have show more trees than are required. We're providing new concrete aprons and sidewalks per the municipal standard, 6 inches thick, reinforced. And then we'll update, replace any sidewalk along the front that is found not to be in conformance. For stormwater, we're increasing the runoff, we're increasing the impervious on the site by 4,800 square feet, approximately just under that. And based on a 3 inches of rainfall, that would generate 1,200 cubic feet of additional volume. So the dry wells were sized to each hold at least 600 cubic feet. And they actually provide just over 700 cubic feet. So a little bit more than what you would typically provide, but we wanted to make sure that we accommodated and did not, we're good neighbors as far as stormwater runoff goes. So for variances, so the existing lots total just under 2 acres in total. For each existing lot is 6 square feet under a full acre. Each proposed lot will be over 29,000 square feet where 10,000 square feet is required. So far in excess in size, but as far as the lot width, and if I, you can see by the depth of these, you know, why they're super deep. They're 385 feet deep, these lots. But the required lot width and lot frontage, both are required at 100 feet, and we are proposing 77.5 feet. There are, and I'm sure our planner will testify, you know, where 100 feet is required, there are several in the neighborhood that are also 60, 80, less than 100 feet. But because of the depth of these lots, we far exceed the required 10,000 square foot lot areas. We have some existing condition variances. One is for the side yard of the accessory building on 21 School Street, but that's being removed. So that's eliminated. And then for the sides of the shed and the it will be returned to a garage. The required is 8 feet, and we have 4.7 feet, 4.8 feet on those two existing structures, where 8 feet is required. And then there's a the use of that garage converted to an apartment that's non-conforming. That'll be corrected by this application. There's also a fence. It's hard to see here, but there's a drainage, a municipal drainage ditch that runs on the side of the property in an easement. And the fence right now kind of wraps around the front of the fence and then goes around that head wall and then back down. And right now a portion of that fence is in the municipal easement on the adjacent property. And we're going to remove that and replace it back onto our site to eliminate that encroachment. I don't believe there's any other required variances or existing variances that are need to be discussed. And I think that's all we have.
I believe so. Is any the board have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chairman, it's Dawn Corcoran, if I may. Madam Chair?
I'm sorry, I was muted.
No worries. I was wondering, I just had a question. If you don't
go ahead.
I have some concern as to when the conversion of the apartment to the garage will take place. Would your client have any objection, if this application were approved, would your client have any objection that no permits could be issued for the either one of the two single family dwellings until that conversion has in fact taken place?
There's no objection to that.
Okay, great, thank you.
Is there any other questions from the board members?
Ron Reinertsen, just one thing. I read in the township memo about redesigning the houses to go a little deeper. There's some environmental constraints. Can you do that and make these houses narrower and still stay out of the wetlands?
Yeah, sure. So yes, we have quite a bit of room, and let me just bring that plan back up. This is this is exhibit A1. You can see that here's the back of the home, and then you have still another, you know, close to 50 feet until you get to the wetlands buffer. The dry wells, they can be reconfigured sideways if they needed to be or whatever, but we have, you know, if you're taking, I don't know what the total width of the homes are right now. The lots are 77. I think they're about 57 feet wide. So if you were to take, you know, 5 or 10 feet off the width and add it onto the back or come up further in the front, you could certainly do that without any concern with the wetlands buffer, which is the most the closest restraint we have in the back.
Okay, thank you. That satisfies my comments. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, I'm going to open it up to the public now. Ms. Buckley, do you see anyone who would like to ask a question in the public?
Yes. There's Edie, 13 School Street. She's waiting.
Yes.
Go ahead. Good evening.
Wait a minute. You have to be sworn in. Hold on.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can you state your name and spell your last name, ma'am?
It's Viola, V-I-O-L-A, Eddie, E-A-D-D-Y.
And where do you live, ma'am?
I live at 13 School Street, Piscataway.
Oh, the label should have told me. I apologize. Yes.
I'm in lot 8.02.
Okay. What did you want to ask, ma'am?
What's your question?
Yes, I wanted to ask, I know the property across the street is the red home, and it has the other little house in the back and another shed, of course. And I was just wondering, saying that he's going to build two new homes. Is the original home remaining?
That's correct.
Yeah, right, the original home, 17 School Street, will stay. 21 School Street will go away. That one will be demolished.
Okay. And then it put
it's not the it's not the red home across the street.
Oh.
I can pull up a street view if that helps.
Yes, that thank you.
Let me just go back to share screen. And where are we? So this is the property, and this the little white house. I think it might even be right next door to you. The little white house that stays. That one stays, and then the yellow house, the next one down will be demolished.
Okay.
And then just since we have this up, this is the white fence that kind of meanders around the drainage improvement. Mm-hmm. We're gonna rectify that and get it back where it belongs.
Oh, they painted it blue now, but
So okay, that's the building that will remain.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And we'll refer to that as A2, the street view of current
Google Street View. That's right.
Any other questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else in the public that has any questions of this witness? Okay, seeing no hands, I close the public portion for this witness.
Madam Chairman, this is Carol Saunders. I just had a quick question. I didn't know when these homes were proposed to be constructed, but I see a note on the memo about the road opening moratorium until April 27th of 2025.
Yeah, that's the current ordinance. They're aware of that, so that would govern the construction. Correct, Dawn?
Correct.
Yeah.
And typically in those kind of situations, if the applicant wanted to move forward, they would be required to mill and overlay the entire width of the roadway to fix the street if there was that was acceptable. I don't know what their time frame is on construction, but I know in the past. In many surrounding municipalities, that's how it was handled, that they were required to mill and overlay the full width of the road along their frontage.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. I noticed on the staff report, they plan to have underground utilities going into the houses. The side note, they probably should throw an extra conduit line in there for the future for them because you don't know what the needs are going to be in the future, especially when it comes to undergrounds.
Are you suggesting an extra conduit going to each of the new dwellings in case, fiber optic or something, was a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, because right now you have a lot of underground utilities and a lot of developments in the town, and it's becoming cost prohibitive for them to upgrade, Wi-Fi, service, fiber optic service, and things like that.
Okay, we'll do that.
And Madam Chair, if I may, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I would maybe pose this question to Dawn about that. If the applicant wanted to come back and actually start construction before the moratorium, is the township going to allow them to take care of it? What will we do? Will we have them bond for that? And then only because I'm concerned about, okay, we know the quality of the materials we want to use on our roads, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how that works. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Certainly that's not something that the board, as you know, can grant, nor is it something staff can grant. That actually has to go all the way up to administration, council. And then in fact, yes, they would have to bond. And if the approval was granted, they'd have to put a bond in place and so forth, but it's not going to be at the staff's discretion as to whether or not they're going to grant that.
Right. So this applicant would have to come before us if they wanted to start build. They'd have to come before planning if they wanted to start building before the moratorium. Is that accurate?
No, they would go before the mayor and council.
Correct. So what they'll do is if they want to, they're going to have to address all the conditions of those board approval if granted. Then they're going to be back to the planning board for final major subdivision approval. Then they can seek approval from council and administration if at that point they want to start moving ahead with the construction.
So the approval today is really still based upon the moratorium on when they can start building. Okay, that's my question.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't void the moratorium.
Yeah, not at all. It would grant the subdivision, it would divide the lots up. Covers when they do construct, but this board, the moratorium is still in place no matter what the board does.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. With that, sir, do you have any other witnesses you want to call, Mr. White?
Yes, I'd like to call Mr. Osiello. And if he could be sworn in.
Yes.
Mr. Osiello, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Justin Osiello, AUCIELLO.
Go ahead.
All right. Could you give, what licenses do you possess?
A professional planner. Professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been licensed since 2007. I have a master's in planning from Rutgers University. I have appeared in front of this board on a few occasions. I've also have appeared at hundreds of boards in the state of New Jersey over the course of my 17-year career.
I'd like
is acceptable as a planner to this board.
Thank you.
As a professional planner.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Could you, again, identify the particular variances that we were requesting tonight?
Sure, absolutely. If it helps, actually, I'll start with that, Mr. Wiley. So as Mr. Walker had stated, we do require a few variances for proposed lot A, B, and C. Variances relate to lot width and frontage, and side yard setback for lot A, for the garage and the shed. For lot B and C, it's just lot width and lot frontage. If it helps to orient the board, I have an exhibit. Madam Chair, if I may share my screen.
Yes, that would be acceptable.
Thank you so much. So I'm just gonna pull this up.
And we would be starting with A3, Mr. Osiello.
Okay, thank you. Just, okay. So can you see my screen?
I see it.
Okay, great. So this is A3. This is an image from the state of New Jersey. And I did an overlay of showing the site. The site, which is denoted as block 9001 lot 9 and block 9001 lot 10, which is denoted by the flag in the middle. And then these pins that extend from block 9001 lot 7.02 across a school street to block 9001 lot 801. And then across the street, block 8404, lot 901, block 8404, lot 12, and block 8404, lot 13. These are all lots that are in the surrounding area of the subject property. These lots are deficient with respect to lot width and lot frontage. And the reason why I'm presenting this exhibit is to show that what's proposed this evening is not inconsistent with the character of the surroundings. And I will stop sharing my screen. Two important points relative to that exhibit. I had calculated using tax parcel data, the average width and frontage, they're one and the same. And the average is just under, it's 79.71 feet. which is the average width and frontage. Now, the proposed lots this evening are 75.5 for lot width and frontage on a proposed lot A, and 75.25 for proposed lot B and C. So I would submit that what's proposed is generally consistent with the character of the area and also the character of those lots that I had shown. Those lots are substantially smaller than the lots that are proposed. The average of those seven lots is 15,971 square feet. What's proposed, as you heard from Mr. Walker, is far in excess of the lot area which is permitted in this zone. So I think those two points are instructive from the standpoint of these variances. Number one, what's proposed is not creating a condition which is inconsistent with the general character of the area. And number two, this proposal creates three lots that are not only substantially larger than the minimum lot area, but also which are substantially larger than the average of those lots that I showed in the exhibit. So that's just
maybe for the record that the square footage of all three lots are in excess of 29,000 square feet. Is that right?
Correct. Which are far in excess of the lot area, which is permitted in the zone as a minimum. So that's the character of the area. Relative to the positive criteria in this application, certainly from a planning standpoint, with that context in place, I would say this application does promote multiple purposes of zoning, light air and open space, a sufficient space and appropriate locations. I think which is instructive for this application for the board is that despite the fact that there are some variances that are required, as stated by Mr. Walker, no variances are required for setbacks or coverage. From a planning perspective, this speaks to these lots being suitable for these houses. As Mr. Walker had testified, we are taking down some trees, but we're putting up 14 trees. So three more trees than what are currently on the properties today. And again, I think what's proposed, as you saw, from the site exhibit, from Mr. Walker, these houses will be brand new, obviously. So I believe from a planning perspective, this will add to the character of the area. For the negative criteria, certainly I don't see these variances, if they're granted, will present any substantial detriment to the public good. These variances, which are required, are not, generally they're consistent with the character of the area. There's more than enough space, for access for fire and police. And I think importantly, the improvements are outside the buffer, for the wetlands. So I certainly don't see any impact to the public good. Whether or not this will impact the zone plan, the zoning ordinance, certainly these are permitted uses. This is an opportunity to improve the condition on a proposed lot A, to provide for two new brand new houses on the street as well. So I don't see any impact to the purpose of the zoning ordinance and the zoning plan, should these variances be granted. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Well, just to clarify, there is, I guess, on accessory uses, the existing lot does have two side yard variances that are required. Is that right?
That is correct. So proposed lot A does have two variances. However, those conditions will not be changing. But I should say that for proposed lot A, there are two principal structures that are currently on the site. and one principal structure is proposed. So certainly that's an improvement from the current condition. And the side yard setback as well for the shed, but the garage as the principal structure, of course, will no longer be on that site. So what currently exists today and what's proposed is not going to change for that side yard setback.
Thank you. Is there any questions that the board has of this witness?
Yes, I have a question, Mr. Rossiello.
Madam Chair,
as you illustrated in your diagram.
I think you're breaking up. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
You're good now, but you froze. You froze on the beginning. So what was your question, Madam Chair?
I agree that that there are narrower lots than as called for in the 100-foot width requirement for each property. And that is the character of the neighborhood. However, these houses are by design. Is your testimony meant to indicate that they should not be made narrower as suggested by the site plan? They should be kept, that the width of the houses should be, the reduction of the side yard setback should be less as opposed to more. Since there is so much depth to the property, it seems not to be so much of a hardship to be able to now make the houses narrower because they have much more footage in the back.
Well, we've already agreed to that condition to narrow the width to 45 feet.
Okay, but I didn't know whether he was trying to not agree to that request.
Oh, no, that's, we made that request and certainly it's my testimony that the applicant, will comply with that request.
Okay. Any other questions from other board members? Okay, we can open it up to the public, Ms. Buckley. Do you see any questions coming from the public?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, closed to the public. Any discussion on part of the board as to this application?
Mr. Wiley, do you have any?
I have no further witnesses, and I'll spare the board my summation.
Thank you. Can I have a motion from anyone on the board?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the reports discussed with the additional condition that an extra conduit line be added to each new dwelling. Also a condition that no permits shall be issued for either one of the new proposed single family dwellings until the existing apartment has been converted back to a garage. And I believe that is all.
I'm
going to say that the width of the homes be reduced to 45 feet, that the homes be no higher than 33 feet. And again, that the existing dwellings remain as a single family home only. Did I cover them all?
There was one area that I forgot to mention, but I had discussed it with Mr. Clarkin, and that is to put a restrictive covenant on Lot A to ensure that that they know that there's a garage there and not an additional unit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, Ms. Buckley.
Mayor Waller.
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill.
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran.
Yes.
Ms. Saunders.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny.
Yes.
Mr. Atkins.
Yes.
And Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Night. Item number 16, 22PB10/11V. Piscataway Park, preliminary and final site plan.
Madam Chair, Bob Smith. I'm a licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey. I'm here tonight representing the Piscataway Park application. You have before you a very, very minor expansion of what is commonly known today as Royal Gardens, but is being rebranded as Piscataway Park. The address of the project is 3060 New Brunswick Avenue, which is the home of approximately 550 units / families. The proposed addition is 675 square feet, and we are in the RM multifamily zone. And while you have a list on your agenda of a whole bunch of variances, all of them are existing conditions / previously approved, very, very minor exceptions. The only actual real variance that's being requested is with regard to maximum building coverage, where the township standard is 20%. The existing condition is 20.9%. That's existing. And the very, very minor expansion is 20.94%. So in effect, the expansion of the coverage variance that currently exists, or the current condition, is 0.04%, which we would argue to you is absolutely minimal. It's my intention to call two witnesses for expedited testimony in terms of the time of night, and that is Mr. Mike Zucker, who is the overall manager of this property and other properties, and Mr. Craig Stiers, who's our licensed professional engineer, to give her a very brief description of the expansion. With your permission, I'd ask that Mr. Zucker be called and sworn so that he can give testimony.
Mr. Zucker?
Excuse me, Mr. Zucker, can you please raise your right hand?
There he is.
Yes.
Okay, do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I affirm.
State and spell your name for the record.
Michael Zucker, Z-U-C-K-E-R.
Thank you.
Mr. Zucker, for the record, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Jersey Central Management as a regional property manager for the two Piscataway properties, as well as many other properties throughout New Jersey.
All right. And just by way of a little background and history, your company currently owns Pleasant View Gardens, and you've recently acquired what is currently known as, but which is being rebranded to Piscataway Park, currently known as Royal Gardens. Your company now owns that complex as well, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. And both of these complexes have been around forever. Not literally, but when I first came to Piscataway, which is in the 70s, early 70s, they were both in existence. So the properties have literally been around for our adult lives. And now that your company has acquired Piscataway Park, AKA Royal Gardens, it's your intention to improve it, correct?
Correct. Similar to what we've done at the Pleasant View, those in the town that are familiar, we continue to invest in the facade, improve, renovate apartments, make many energy efficient measures, such as replacing boilers, insulate, LED lighting. And we tried to service the tenants to the best of our ability to that they should have reliable equipment and improve the tenancy.
Terrific. And tonight we're in for a 675 square foot site plan approval, and that 0.04% coverage variance. What is the purpose of the 675 square foot expansion?
What we're trying to do is, right now, the previous owner that I assume they built the clubhouse, and they try to squeeze in an office and a fitness center into, you know, a real small area, and the office is not a functional office. We're trying to expand the office, use the office in the current fitness center for an area that has a conference room, a lounge, an area that can service prospects and tenants and make minor events for the tenants, and make everyone that walks into the office feel at home. Make a good impression, first impression, for every prospect and applicant that comes to rent there, and similar to what we did in the Pleasantview Clubhouse as well. We renovated, made a state of the art, fitness center. We made improvements to the pool, and this is something that we do. We want more of a functional office and fitness center.
Right. So one of the primary themes of this 675 square foot addition is expanding the fitness center, correct?
Right.
And most of the addition, in fact, is new exercise space. Is that also?
The addition is going to be for the fitness area, but we're going to take a portion of the current fitness area and convert that to expand the office and lounge.
Okay. So in the planner's memorandum, which we all reviewed, there was a suggestion that you consider EV spaces, and you asked my opinion about whether it's required or is a suggestion. And as the staff knows, we've now gotten an interpretation from the Department of Community Affairs, which indicates that in order for EV spaces to be required, there has to be an expansion of the parking lot. Is there any expansion of the parking lot proposed here?
No, not at this time.
All right. But that being said, in light of the fact that Piscataway Park wants to be a good neighbor and you want to be progressive, my understanding is that you're offering to live with a condition that would require two new EV parking spaces. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah. Similar to what we've done it at Pleasantview as well.
Okay. Mr. Zucker is available for questions.
Any questions from the members of the board regarding this application? I hear no questions. Let's open it to the public. Ms. Buckley, do you see anybody wishing to question Ms. Wetness in the public?
No, Madam Chair.
Then it's closed to the public. Mr. Smith, you may.
Second witness.
With your next witness.
Mm-hmm. Second and last witness is Craig Stiers. I'd ask that Mr. Stiers be called and sworn so they can give testimony.
Mr. Stiers, can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony about to give would you the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Craig Stiers, S-T-I-R-E-S.
Thank you.
Mr. Stiers, for the record, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm the president of Stiers Associates, and I'm a professional engineer in the state of New Jersey.
All right, and you've been previously accepted by this board as a licensed PE?
Yes.
All right, and you remember how long ago that was?
Probably a couple of years ago. I've done a couple projects for L'Oreal on New England Avenue. We just did a project on New Brunswick Road a couple months ago. So
okay. We're active. So the question is, have your credentials deteriorated in any way since the last time you were accepted as a PE in Piscataway?
No, they haven't.
Madam Chair, I'd ask that he be accepted as an expert in this field.
Mr. Stiers is accepted by this board.
Terrific.
All right, if you would, Mr. Stiers, briefly describe the surroundings on the site. You might want to show us what the site looks like, and in general, describe what we're doing.
See if I can share my screen here. Not having any luck. I did have a rendering, but it doesn't look like it can call it up. So let me just go back here. Anyway, as Bob said, the property is located on the west side of New Brunswick Avenue. which is on the easterly side of Piscataway Township. Just across the street is South Plainfield. And the property is known as Block 1601, Lots 1, 1.04, 1.05. Property consists of just under 36 acres and has is obviously an apartment complex with 25 buildings, 550 apartments, and also the subject of the application tonight, community building, which is up near New Brunswick Avenue. Properties in the RM zone, multifamily zone, the use is permitted. As Bob also said, there are a number of non-conformities that are existing, one being front yard for a principal structure, 63.65 feet. Front yard for accessory is 44.59. Side yard principal structure, 23.64. Side yard accessory structure, 9.06. The lot coverage is 20.9. The height of the accessory structure, which is the community building itself, is 19 feet. And the number of parking spots is required based on the RSIS is 1,100, and we have 1,046.
Right, and those are all existing conditions, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right, and I think also a very good time for us to say we're no longer looking for one of the variances that were listed, which is screening of outdoor mechanical equipment, and the proposal was no screening of air conditioning units. We saw that request and requirement in Mr. Hinterstein's report, and we have no problem providing the appropriate screening, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and it's also true, I believe, on one of the setbacks, we're now more conforming than we were previously. Is that true?
Well, I think what the planner was pointing out was the setback from the addition as opposed to the rest of the building. So the addition is further back. I believe it's 48 and change from the front yard.
Which is better than it currently is, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in fact, really the only new variance is the increase in the coverage from 20.9% to 20.94%, correct?
That is correct, yes.
In your opinion as an engineer, does that come in the category of really tiny, tiny, just a smidge, de minimis? Those are technical terms.
Yes, I would agree with that. Agree with okay. That assessment.
All right. Have you had an opportunity to review with our client the report from Community Development from Mr. Hinterstein? Were there any items on that report with which the applicant is unwilling to comply? And that's the report dated July 26th, 2022. The only item we don't disagree with it, but item one says that we will comply with the state and local EV charging station requirements. And the answer is it doesn't apply because there's no new parking spaces. So other than that, is there any item on this list with which we are not, for the record, indicating that we will comply?
No, we will work with Henry as usual and comply with his requests.
Right, and one last comment on this. Item 11 says documents required to be submitted at Middlesex County letter. It is true that we've received the conditional approval from the Middlesex County Planning Board, correct?
Yes.
Right, and their only request was show ADA compliance, which we are happy to do.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Stiers is available for questions.
Members of the board, do you have any question of Mr. Stiers at this time? I see no hands. Can we open it to the public?
Hold on. Madam Chair, I just wanted to make sure. I don't know if we covered. I apologize about the master plan half width.
For New Brunswick Avenue?
That's correct.
New Brunswick Avenue is a county road. However, we do have a number of dedications on there. When I contacted them, they were satisfied with the dedications that have been previously completed.
I just want to check with Ms. Corcoran. I'm assuming we have everything that we need.
Cannot hear Ms. Corcoran.
Ms. Corcoran.
I am so sorry. I have, that is correct. Our township engineer today has confirmed that we have any right-of-way that is necessary for New Brunswick Avenue. Okay. As Craig said, we've had dedications. I believe there's also an easement out there, which is in fact shown, I believe, on your survey.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. We need to open it to the public for questioning. Is there anyone in the public who would like to question this witness? Ms. Buckley, do you see any hands?
Laura, you're muted.
But I read her lips this time.
It's getting late.
No one, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, seeing no, a close to the public, seeing that there's no hands. What's your pleasure, members of the board? The application is before you.
Madam Chair, before we take a formal vote, I just want to give a little back history on this site. As the applicant said that they're trying to upgrade the site, this site was, as well as the adjacent Pleasant View Gardens, were the first apartment complexes in Piscataway back in the 60s. As a matter of fact, it was the Pleasant View Farms originally, prior to them being apartments, which was a dairy farm here in town. As a matter of fact, my one of my siblings has one of the original milk bottles that says Pleasant View Farms on it. So just a little fact note there, Madam Chair.
A little history. Mm-hmm. Okay, members, that even makes it more interesting, board members. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill, and I would make the motion that we approve this application with the requirements as stated by Dawn Corcoran, and confirming that we do have the half width that's needed, all the dedications out there. That would be my submission. And Mr. Barlow, did I miss anything that should be added there?
No, Ms. Cahill, Councilwoman Cahill, and also the two EV stations.
Right, and the two EV stations.
Right.
You volunteered.
Can I get a second, please?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kearney, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call.
Around that time in the 60s.
Mayor Waller?
Just to clarify, yes. I'm sorry. The EV station is one EV station with a double charger. That's typically what we do. It's two chargers on one. It could accommodate two cars at one time.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to clarify that.
The two spots are next to each other, I guess, and you park. Yeah. Okay. It's the two EV charging stations. Yep.
Okay. On one pole, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Munders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Ms. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. And before we go, I'd also like to congratulate you on recognizing a tenant that had been there for 50 years. It was a very nice tribute to her and that you did that.
Thank you.
Recently. Madam Chair, if we could ask for a favor here. While this is a small addition, Mr. Zucker is trying to get it done as quickly as possible. And on that theory, and also while the weather's good, et cetera, while the weather's good, we'd like to get it done. So we did make a request that the board might consider a memorialized resolution of approval in light of how small this is, but it also helps to get the building permit underway. And the resolution that was prepared by Mr. Barlow has one inaccuracy. And the one inaccuracy is that we were planning to put two renderings in front of the board tonight, the aerial and the site plan. And we had technical difficulties, as Mr. Stiers unfortunately indicated. But we'd ask that you consider the memorialized resolution so we can get this construction underway and in place for the tenants as soon as possible.
I would echo what Mr. Smith said. The resolution that I prepared in the possible anticipation this might be approved does contain the language as to the two EV parking spaces, along with the other items that the applicant agreed to. I'll have to make a small change with Laura just to remove the reference to the exhibits, but if it's the board pleasure, the board's pleasure could adopt a resolution this evening.
Ms. Saunders.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize application 22PB-10/11V for Piscataway Park preliminary and final site plan with bulk variance.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Madam Chair and members. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Motion to adjourn.
No, Madam Chair. No. There's one other item.
Oh. We have one more item.
Thank you very much.
Number 17. I missed the two on the agenda. My bad. You may recall a while back, Kevin Morris was before the board with regards to a minor subdivision that the board approved. Under the statute, an individual has 190 days to memorialize the subdivision. However, if the applicant has difficulties in either getting some permits or trying to figure out the different requirements that they have to comply with, either from the state or the county or DEP or anything, and they run into any delays, they're entitled to request from the planning board up to an additional year of time to perfect the subdivision. And Mr. Morris did request by letter dated last week, if the August 5th, excuse me, if the board could grant him an additional 90 days to perfect the subdivision. And that's number 17. So if the board is of a mind to grant the 90-day extension to Mr. Morse, it would be appropriate for someone to move and vote on that.
Can I get a motion to grant the extension to Mr. Morris with 90 days?
So moved. Kenny, I'll make a motion. Definitely.
Everybody wants to go home.
And Reverend Kenny made the motion. Do I have a second?
Carol Saunders, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Now adjourned.
Now it's adjourned.
Good
night.
Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Enjoy the rest of the summer. Evening.
Yes, enjoy that all the way through to Labor Day. Be safe, everybody.
Thank you, too.